So in chapter 3, and we're going to go through the whole chapter, but again, Lord willing, and we have time, I don't want to take us too late because we have a couple things going on today as well. But in the first verse of chapter 3, let's begin reading. I'm just going to read down 7 verses. We'll pray, and then we'll go ahead and look at the rest of the chapter. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word again this afternoon as we continue to study this chapter or this book. And Father, I just pray you continue to guide and direct in our lives. Help us get a vision of what it means and to understand the commitment that these young people or young men had at this time in their life. And Father, I pray you just continue to guide and direct in our lives as well. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see again that chapter 3 is dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, chapter 2 left us where Nebuchadnezzar was praising God. You remember that? Now, again, there's a time difference between chapter 2 and chapter 3. Sometimes we read these books, I don't know about you, but I get it in my mind that this happened today and the next day something else happened. It's not like that at all, because there's years span between these things. And so things are, you know, going at a different pace than we sometimes can just read through it. So we can read through the 12 chapters of Daniel, and sometimes in our mind we think, boom, 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 when it's actually something happened, and then maybe 30, 40 years later something else happened, and on it goes. And that's kind of what's going on here. But anyway, so he's dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar already praised God when Daniel interpreted his dream, and he promoted Daniel, and he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. But then we come to chapter 3, and it's funny, or not funny, but and it's not a coincidence. I guess it's really part of the whole thing. Nebuchadnezzar, he knew what the dream was. Daniel interpreted that for him, and he set up an idol. And this idol probably resembled somewhat of the dream he had. I don't know. It didn't give specifics other than it was made of gold. Whether it was gold-plated or it was a solid gold, which that's a big thing. It's 9 foot tall or 90 foot tall and 9 foot wide. That's a big statue, okay? And so anyway, this was set up. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he made a proclamation. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar, he was ruling everywhere about. It was a global thing. All nations and all people were under him. They had different languages. We saw some of that already. And so he sets this big idol up, and he makes a proclamation. He commanded that everybody would bow down to this when the music was played. Now, it said all kinds of music. I can't even wonder what that is. Today, we've heard lots of music in our there's a lot of different types and stuff, and so I don't know what it sounded like, but when the things were played, everybody was supposed to bow down. And if you didn't bow down and worship this idol, it was commanded and stated that you would be thrown in the fiery furnace. Now, the people of this day, they knew what the consequences were for not bowing down, not worshiping this idol. And the consequences were death by fire. Anybody in this room ever been burned? I think most of us could raise our hand probably. I don't know. Yeah. Feels good, doesn't it? Man, you get burned and you think, wow, this is just wonderful. I like this feeling. I don't know about you, but it throbs, it hurts. My mind is directed to one thing, fixing this problem. I burnt myself with, I don't know how that happened, I don't even remember, but we were making popcorn one time in a popcorn maker or something. Anyway, I got my index finger burnt and it bubbled up right there. Oh, that hurt. That's all I could think about was that little finger. I remember getting the cold water and sticking it in there, and let me recommend bleach, okay? Really. And the reason I say that, because Nathan, we heard this, but Nathan, he when we went to this place, conference, he got his whole arm burned with an iron. We left it on the bed like not too smart parents. We were ironing clothes and trying to get ready for something. He went and he got a hold of that iron, and you could see the iron print. It was that bad. He was screaming. And we ran to this place, and we asked him, you got any bleach? You got any bleach? And there was some in the janitor's room. So we went in there, and there was a deep sink. We poured bleach all over that. And it was like that, practically, that no more tears, no more crying. It took this heat away from it. That was amazing. So whenever I get burned, now I wouldn't and I don't know why I'm giving y'all this information, but I wouldn't, if it's an open wound, don't do it, okay? I recommend not doing that. But if it's a blistered thing, then do it. But anyway, we know that when you get burned, it is very painful, and it does hurt. And can you imagine, so if I don't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, this 90-foot by 9-foot thing that he made of gold, then, and that's my choice to either bow down or not, it's my decision, if I don't do it, I'm going in this fiery furnace. It is sure death. It is going to happen, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's speaking as most of us would think. So today, we see these idols. We have this very same idols in our lives today, in our country today. There's so many things out there to worship. Sometimes we don't even think about what things are worship. But, you know, when you find yourself doing things, and it's the main thing you do, a lot of times that is your idol. You understand what I'm saying? You become a person who worships something. Some people worship their kids, believe it or not. I mean, that's all they think about is their kids. Well, if you think about anything above God, you're worshiping an idol. Whatever that is, your car, your TV, your phone that you can't let go of. You know how that is. And so there's so many things out there that attract us and get our attention, and we find ourselves worshiping these things. We need to be careful that we don't do that. So here he had an opportunity. There was a call call of dedication. He said, I want everybody to come and worship my idol. And that was the all nations, all people, whatever. So then next we're going to see a charge of defiance. Look at verse 10. Or verse 8, that's where we stopped. It says, wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree, that's the call of the dedication, that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? It's almost like he doesn't want to see this happen. He probably respected these young men. He'd already set them up into this position, and he's thinking, Did you really do this? You didn't do this, did you? That's kind of the way I think he's approaching it. But anyway, verse 15 says, Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So here he is. There's a charge of defiance. What happens is these other folks that were there at Nebuchadnezzar's under him, they saw. And they may have been looking for something to accuse them of. Today in Christianity, people are looking for something to accuse you of. They want to see that you're not really true to your God. They want to prove that you're just a hypocrite, that you just go to church and you don't believe what the Bible says. That's exactly what they're doing today. That's what happened here. They saw and watched over him, these three young men, which were Jews, who had a position of authority right under Daniel, who was right under Nebuchadnezzar, and they were looking to see what they would do. I think they knew what they would do. I personally believe that was their testimony, which also should be ours. So they went to the king and said, "Hey, king, you got some people here that aren't doing what you're asking." And the reason I know the king was concerned about this, and the king really didn't want to throw them in the fiery furnace, because he gave them a second chance. I doubt if it was anybody else that he would have even thought about it second or twice. He would have just said, throw them in the fiery furnace. He said, look, I'll give you a second chance. When we play these instruments, when we play all kinds of music, just bow down and we'll forget the first time. That's kind of what he's saying. And again, I believe it's because their testimony, and that testimony it was given because they served a mighty God. They trusted God. And so we see there was a charge of defiance. Today, we need to be careful when people are looking at us and the things that we're doing and the places we go, that we're not setting ourselves up that we would be charged that you're a hypocrite or you're not following God. Because people, I'm serious, I've had this thrown at me. It doesn't feel right, but the truth hurts. I've had someone say, well, that's not very Christian-like. And as soon as the words came out of this person's mouth, I just felt lower than a snake. Why? Because he was right. And so that's the whole thing for us as Christians. We don't want to be in that position where we can be accused. Now, we're going to do wrong. Now, let me tell you something, and I can't stress this enough. When we do wrong, especially with somebody else or maybe in a public setting or whatever, after you've thought about it, if you can do it right away, it's best. But if you're such, you know, we respond certain ways, we get heated, we get mad. When something happens, if you will go back and do it God's way, you will quench the thoughts and the things people think about you. In other words, if you don't do right, someone calls you out on it, maybe at the particular time they do it, you're still, maybe you're a little proud and you don't want to handle it. When you start thinking about it and God reveals to you you are wrong, go back and apologize. Ask for forgiveness. Why? Because that sets it right. And that way, God will get the glory through that. You're demonstrating that, hey, as a Christian, I can do wrong. But as a Christian, I also want to follow God's word. And this is how I get it right. And when we don't do that, we leave it hanging. We are hypocrites. And been there, done that. Got the experience. And haven't got a t-shirt yet, but we'll get one later. So we want to be sure that we're walking in the right direction, helping out. And encouraging. You know, the world's philosophy, and we think about this something, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I look at the majority and think, well, the majority's got to be right. And I think that's the way the world is today. The world looks at things and the majority's right. It's amazing when you see people going out and interviewing people. I don't know if you've ever watched any of that stuff. I can't think of anybody right off who's done it. Usually it's on YouTube or something. And they'll go out and ask somebody a question like, for instance, policies in government or whatever. Do you think this is a good policy? Do you think this is it good to have your wages increase? Is it good to get a tax break? Is it good to have all these things? And people say, yes. He says, well, what do you think about Trump? Oh, we hate that guy. Well, these are the very things he's doing. And then you go ask a person about someone said they asked this question. Do you think that Obama deserved what is that peace word? Thank you. I heard four or five people say it and didn't get it together. So anyway, it's not bad. Okay, anyway. He got a Nobel Prize, but what did he do? Name one thing. Well, that's what he asked the question to all these people. Do you think he deserved it? They all said, well, yes, he deserved it. Of course, these people like this particular president. Yes, he deserved it. And then they asked, well, can you name one thing he deserves it for? And nobody could come up with anything that he deserved it for. And so the point I'm making in this, and as you think about this, is the majority are not right most of the time. In fact, most of us are wrong part of the time, at least, if not always. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 12 says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And I want to tell you something. The truth of the matter is there's only one who's right, and that is God. God is always right. And I know that. And God is good. Kelsey told me that one day, a bunch of years ago. Remember that? See, I do. That was so profound. We were teaching in Master's Club, and I said, and I was going through this verse, actually. No, there's none good. And I said, how many, who's good? And I'm sitting there waiting for someone to say, none are good. And Kelsey goes, God is good. And I said, oh, yeah, she's right. It's not in that verse, though, but she's absolutely right. And that's true. So it's God who's always right. It's God who will give us the right direction. It's God that we must follow. So all the people of this kingdom, they bowed down to this idol. And except for three young men. And these young men stood when everybody else bowed. So you can imagine, they stuck out like a sore thumb, did they not? When people looked around, if anybody was looking, you ever pray or something? You kind of look up and see if anybody else is doing what? You know, I'm guilty. I've done that before. I try not to do it anymore. But there was a time when I'd look and just, what's these people doing? And you see people do all kinds of things. Looking in their Bibles, getting this ready or that ready. And it's just, but anyway, I don't do that here and never have. So I don't know what you guys do when we pray. I hope you're praying. But the point is that, again, that here's some guys that made the decision. They decided that they were going to follow God, and they didn't care what happened. Moses understood this principle. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, Paul was writing and sharing about the heroes of faith. He said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So the fact is that Moses understood that sin was not valuable in his life. And he said, I'm not going to do that. I'd rather not do that. He wanted to suffer the affliction, follow God. And 2 Thessalonians 1:5 says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Again, thinking of these three Hebrew boys, they were thinking of this very thing, that they were going to suffer no matter what this guy did for Christ's sake. Because that was where their focus was. It didn't matter what he told them to do. We can see that. Look at verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, and this is when they had the opportunity to bow down twice, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're going to give it to you straight right now. They said in verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They were confident, assured of their God. They would be delivered. Now, it may not be the way we want to be delivered. It may be some other way. But they knew God would deliver them. Look what they said after that. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, meaning if they didn't get out of the fiery furnace, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, I believe in their heart of hearts, they knew if God decided not to get them out of that furnace, that was his business, and he was going to put them in a better place. The place we all think about and realize that God has made for us to worship with him forever and ever. So these young men, understanding the consequences of not bowing down and telling the king, and they weren't mean-spirited about it, but they just told us, we cannot serve and worship your gods. That's the very thing we need to think and say to the world today. I'm not going to serve and worship your gods. And we have to think about what consumes our time, what is our problems. And I got things that consume my time that God would not be pleased with. I struggle with some of those things, and you do too. Some of you can't get off your phone to save your neck. I have a hard time with mine. I got it everywhere. It's not on me right now, but it's right in there. I can go get it. And we get tied up with these things, and they become idols in our lives. Facebook. Man, you get on there, I know some people, they post, it seems like, every 5 seconds. I'm going to get my hair fixed. I just got my hair fixed. You know, I'm going to go and brush my teeth and take a bath. I'm going to go have supper. I mean, just constant. On and on it goes. I don't have Facebook anymore. I said, I'm going to get off of it. First off, I don't want to see what anybody else is doing because I just don't want to be looking at that stuff, because a lot of people don't. You can look at it and see they're not really serious about God. And I don't want to have to be bombarded with that stuff, so I just gave that part up. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of things out there that get our attention. And we need to be like these Hebrew boys. I keep calling them boys. They're men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we need to stand where God stands and say, I'm not going to bow down to these things. I don't need these things. These things are a hindrance to me in my life. They're not helping me serve God. Now, I'm not saying a phone is not going to help you serve God. I'm saying if you're not careful, it can take away what you should be doing, no doubt. Anything can. So we see these guys, there was a call of dedication, there was a charge of defiance, but then the confirmation of dependence. These young boys told the king, hey, we're not going to serve your God. In verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here we see their confirmation in their dependence to God. They went through this and they surrendered to God and said, God, we're in your hands. We're trusting you. Whatever happens, we know that you're on the throne. You're going to help us through this, no matter what. And so they went through this fiery furnace. It reminds me of some men, Hudson Taylor, on June 25th, 1865, at 33, he came to a great crisis in his life. He was at Brighton Beach on the south coast of England, and it was on a Sunday morning, and he was praying, and a spiritual principle had came to him, and he was surprised that the truth had so long eluded him. And we know that whenever we study the Bible, we'll find new things every time. Something will come to us. God will give us something because we know He knows we're ready. Well, this particular time, Hudson Taylor was ready in his life. He said this, if we are obeying the Lord, the responsibility rests with Him, not with us. Throwing caution and tradition to the winds, Hudson Taylor formed the China Inland Mission. So what he decided that time, he just came to this, and this is something that he had been serving the Lord, but it's like the Lord said, Hudson, I want you to know, as long as you serve me, your life rests in my hands. Do you know what that means? What it means is, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll put you on the throne in my life. You know, there's many days and many times in my life that the throne in my life is me. I sit on it. And when I do that, God is not first in my life. It's only when I take and put Him on that throne that He becomes first. That's exactly the example we have today, is they allow God to be on the throne of their lives. We are bought with a price, right? We're not our own, the Bible teaches us. We're His as Christians. And so we allow Him to help us make our decisions. In fact, we let Him make our decisions many times. Dwight L. Moody, his favorite verse was Isaiah 12:2. He said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." And he used to say that, and you've heard this before, you can travel first class or second class to heaven. And he said, second class is Psalm 56:3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Where first class is, "I will trust and not be afraid." That's the key for it. We need to switch it around. Now, it's true that you can go ahead when you are afraid to trust Him. Do that. But as you grow, let's just trust Him and not have to worry about the outcome. Let's rest in His decisions for our lives. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could be just like me. I'm standing in a crowd of people, and this crowd of people are doing certain things, whatever it is. I don't know what depends, but in this case, it's to bow down to this thing. They could have said to themselves, "Who is going to know? I'll just bow down. It's no big deal. Hey, I'm still a Hebrew child of God. I'm still someone that is God's chosen people. And I'm going to serve God all the days of my life. I'm really going to try to do that. But who else is going to know? Why should I put myself in a position of being thrown in the fire furnace because then my life's over and God can't use me anymore?" You ever think that way? Who's going to know? I'll just act like everybody else. Nobody will know. They could have done that. But they didn't. And that's what really, when I look at that, I think, are you serious? God, are you really serious? You really want us to be like these guys? You really want us to do this? You really want us to surrender our lives? To live is Christ and to die is? That means we're serious if we practice that verse. Now, God's not necessarily asking us to die today, other than to ourselves, but He's asking us to do something. He's asking us to challenge ourselves, to stretch ourselves. Why? Because He has something bigger and greater in your life. There's more to this than just eating, drinking, and a daily struggle. And that's where sometimes I am missing the mark. It's because there's more to do. You see their confidence. They had a choice, and instead of taking the choice and bowing, bowing, they chose not to. In Isaiah 43:1-2, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." That's a promise of God. Psalm 66:12, "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads." Somebody's over them in authority. In this case, Daniel is, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are under the Babylonian authority, Nebuchadnezzar. "We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest out into a wealthy place." In other words, they believed God and trusted Him for their lives. So we saw their courage because they were resound in their convictions. They would not, nor could they, bow down. But the consequences of their devotion, we see that Nebuchadnezzar followed through with this promise. He heated that furnace up. He was so mad, he heated that thing up 7 times. Hotter than normal. And I don't think he intended to have those strong, mighty men that were bound or were to bound Shadrach and Meshach to go through and die. I don't think that was his plan at all. But he was so mad at them because they denied him not once, but twice. And when they went to throw them in, those men died instantly. Now, I want you to tell you, this is a miraculous event. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they actually went in the fire. And not only went in the fire, but they were not harmed. Not a hair on their head was singed. That's amazing to me. Their coats, their clothes, and they were fully clothed. None of it. In fact, their garments didn't even smell of smoke. Now, if I go sit out at a campfire for a little bit, I walk away, I stink like smoke. I can't get away from it. And I don't know about you if you experience this, but and I wonder how it could happen. But we can go sit around and have everybody sitting around a fire, and that smoke always comes to me. I don't know what it is, but it all, I can get up and I can go move. And you know what? That smoke follows me. I don't know what it is. And so anytime I'm around one of those situations, I have to go home and throw my clothes in the dirty clothes, take a shower, because I smell like smoke, okay? These men did not. That is miraculous. Why could that happen? How could that happen? Because we see that God was with them. In fact, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was in that very thing. Look at verse 25. And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Now, I don't know if that was actually Jesus Christ. He calls him an angel later on in the passage when you read it. Or if it was just a symbol of the Lord, I'm not sure. But I know that God was with them because there were four walking in that fiery furnace. How many came out? Do you remember? Three. So the Lord sought them through, protected them in that fiery furnace, and then he left them. That's amazing. That's what God can do in our lives. Do we serve the same God, the God of heaven, as these three guys did? Do we? Do you think he could do something mighty in your life? Do you think he can meet all your needs? Provide for you, your family? Do you think he can take care of every situation you're in? So what do you have to do for that to happen? Trust him. Let's go farther. What? Believe in him. Surrender to him. Obey. Josh, you were going to say something? Okay, that's okay. You probably had a thought and someone said it, and so. Good, okay. All right. What else? Anybody? Those are all truths. You're all right. So, what does it mean to obey? What does it mean to trust? What does it mean to believe that he can do these things? Huh? That's a start. That's just the beginning of your new life. You got the rest of your life to live. What does it mean? You got the answer. All of it's true what you said. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Oh, Becky. I'm sitting back here going, look at the wall. No. Absolutely daily process. But the key word she said there through all that, all of it is key, daily process. Walk with God, read the Bible, and then do it. Do it. See, these guys could have, like I said, they could have got away with not bowing down. They would have never had to face that fiery furnace. But they chose to stand because they were people who do it. It's real in their life. Putting God first is evident because they did it. And that's what God is trying to teach me and teach all of us. None of us have arrived yet, but we ought to be walking and struggling down that path to make decisions, wise decisions, based on the Word of God, not based on what I feel, think, or perceive to be right. Because I can make up anything. I can say God's blessing me for anything, but if I'm not doing what the Bible teaches, He's not. You're following a false God, and you don't even know it. You say, but I'm a Christian, and I understand that. Now, God will bless you through the times when we're disobedient. God always loves you. He cares for you. He doesn't want anything to happen to you, but He still wants you to learn what it is to be obedient. And He gives us a long rope. Amen? And some of us take it to the very limit. That's not the way to do it. But we ought to be listening and reading and understand so we can apply the wisdom of the Bible in our lives so God will not just take care of us and meet our needs, which He wants to do. He loves us. But that He will bless us more abundant than we can handle. He wants to do that. He does it in these folks' lives. He wants to intercede for us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to meet every need. But we have to be like these guys. We have to have our faith demonstrated in our convictions, our courage, and the confidence we have in God. Faith means obeying God no matter what. That's what faith is. But lastly, there was a call of dedication, a charge of defiance, a confirmation of dependence. As they were serving God, there was a consequence of devotion was being tossed in the fiery furnace. I think I missed that particular point. And lastly, there's a command of deliverance. So what do you mean? Look at verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know if he did that way, but ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. Notice what he said. Do you see what he said? He said, ye servants of the Most High God. Does somebody you know that you work with realize you're a servant of the Most High God? Would they say, so-and-so is a servant of the Most High God? I know he is, because he loves the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul. God is first in his life. He won't do this, this, this. He won't listen to the dirty jokes. He won't go where the other people go. But he's somebody different. Now, they may not like you, but they know that you proclaim Christ in your life. That's what this king realized these three individuals were. And it's only then, when we can live that way, that God will ever get the glory through our lives. Because if we're not living that way, people don't see us that way. And so he says, he called them to come out, and he told them that you servants, or ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire and no power, nor was any hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. That's a testimony. Do you understand? Our testimony of serving God is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. And it's realized again in how much we believe the Bible. Do we believe all of it, or we believe what's convenient? How about you? But in my life, as I've been growing through this thing, there are certain things that I don't give up. It's my closet. That's mine. I'm going to keep that, God. I'm not going to let that go, God. That's my stuff. Or that's my things that I want to do or how I want to live. And there are a lot of things that we do that sometimes. I know one thing for sure that I've learned too is I always choose the easiest things for me to do. To follow God. That's always the path of least resistance. In other words, I know I'm going to be in church every single time the doors open. That's not even a question, okay? Why? Well, first off, I'm the pastor. If I don't come, no, maybe you'll come more if I don't come. I don't know. But there are other things in my life. There are places I won't go. You won't see me at the beach on July the 4th or just about any time during the summer. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because I know that's a place of failure for me as a Christian. When there are people that dress improperly, showing a lot of skin, whether women understand this or not, and husbands are responsible, that's an eye trap for men. It just is. And I can explain it this way. God put that in us to be attracted to women. Now, he doesn't want us to lust after them. He wants us to have one, and that's it. Okay? Okay. And the point is all of that is talking about serving God and trusting him in our lives. And there are things that we will do in the name of God even, thinking, well, God did this or God did that. But if it causes us to be unfaithful, it is not of God. Can I hear an amen to that? Okay. Josh, you're supposed to sit on this corner. The amen corner. Good. But anyway, so here Nebuchadnezzar is convinced. Verse 29 says, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Wouldn't it be neat if that's what this nation was about? That if anybody said anything amiss about the God in heaven, I don't want anybody to be killed, but they may understand or be made to understand you shouldn't do that. Today we've done just the opposite. If you proclaim the name of Christ, they want to persecute you. Whether if it's baking a cake or anything else, they try to do that. We don't want that, but that's what's happening today in our country. He goes on, the last verse says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They were already promoted once, and they're getting promoted again. The whole thing of this and the theme of this story is really is that God wants to do a work in our lives. I didn't have time to go to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. If you get a chance, go read that. And he wants us to follow him to the point that we are willing to die. Willing to die. In other words, we don't care about my life as much as God cares about my life. Because when we put our hands in his, it'll always turn out right, whatever happens. That's hard to do, isn't it? I know. I don't often. But it's all summed up in that one verse which I mentioned already, and we're going to close. In Philippians 1:21, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he said, For me to live, to walk on the face of this earth, to practice what I practice, to speak the things I speak, to rub shoulders with the people I rub shoulders with, is Christ. Is Christ. And that's the key for all of us, to live as Christ. And as he said in that last part, to die is gain. If we have that proper attitude about things, then our faith will be strong. And maybe one day when we face the fiery furnace or whatever comes our way, we'll be able to say, my God is able to deliver me. Sorry, King, I can't bow down to your gods because I serve the God in heaven. Challenge again this week. I want you to stretch yourself in something. Pick one thing. I'd like to hear some testimonies of that eventually. If you're really practicing, you ought to be able to give a testimony of something that God has laid on your heart to change in your life and that you're willing to take and step out and take a chance, believing that God is leading you to do something to make you more faithful in the walk you walk. And then come back at some point. It may not be next week. It may be a year. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've made some challenges in my life that I haven't completed yet. I'm working on them. Or God's working on me in them. But I hope one day I can say, I have the victory over this. God has given me that. But that's what we all should be doing. because we don't come here just to sit and be yelled at or whatever. Sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? We come here because we want to serve God and get a greater knowledge of Him and take it and use it out those doors. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for the opportunity to be here today and serve You. I thank You for the folks here that are so faithful. I thank You for those who share the gospel and invite people. And Father, those that are studying the Word of God and they're growing in Christ. And I pray that would be every one of us. Father, I know I need to be closer to You than I am right now. And I just pray You give us the strength and the power to do so as we submit to You in all things. Father, just have Your way, Your will in our lives. Help us to be willing. It'll make the difference. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.